If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to ask that you open to the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter number 20. Psalm chapter number 20. And while you're turning there, Mark and I were heading out, and yesterday we took a trip out here to western Kansas and talked a little bit. Mark, sometimes the message that we think we're doing is not the message God says I want you to do, and sometimes He changes it. Thank you, Lord, for that, because He knows more what we need than I know what I need. Amen. And this is one that is dealing with me this morning. So if you get anything out of it, that's good for you. But God's talking to me this morning. Psalm. We're in chapter number 20, and only 9 verses. And I think you'll see where we're going with this. But if you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Psalm chapter number 20, or Psalm 20, it's a hymnal. The Bible says this: "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God we will set up our banner. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call." Last Sunday, Sunday morning, we preached out of John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled," and we are living in troublesome times. And we talked last week about focusing on our fellowship, the fact that Jesus was in the room. Focus on our faith. You believe in God, believe also in me. Focus on our future. In my Father's house are many mansions, and where I'm going, I'm coming back. Amen. This kind of ties right in with that. Not only are we facing troubled times, but sometimes we face battles. We face battles in this life, and sometimes those battles are in battles of health or hindrances. Sometimes those battles are in discouragements or doubts. Sometimes the battles are with maybe troubles or temptations. And as I look through this psalm, this is a psalm that Don and I were reading in a regular Bible reading this week. We read this psalm, and David is revealing, he's heading into a battle, and he's revealing not only to the men that are going with him, but to himself, where that victory over the battles of this life come from. First is calling on God, verses 1 through 4, and having confidence in God, verses 5 and 6, and counting on God, verses 7 to 9. And we're going to take a closer look at that this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the day. Father, thank you for the opportunity to stand behind this desk, Father, to present your word. Now, Father, get the speaker out of the way. Father, not my strength, not my ability, but your spirit and your word. Father, encourage me today through this word. Father, encourage others through this word. Father, that you get the glory in our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Mark's already going, yeah, I can see some things in here, couldn't we? Can I tell on you just for a minute? God answers prayer. We'd used my son. I'm going to sidetrack here for a minute. We'd used my son's car. He's got one of these little, it's a little box, kind of looks like a toaster oven on wheels. And we took this to go out to western Kansas, and not familiar with the car at all, so I did what I'm supposed to do. I filled it up with gas before we left here. And we're driving out, and of course, if you've been out to western Kansas, there's not a lot out there. A lot of farm country out there, not a lot of towns. We made a corner onto another highway, and we were, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 miles outside of town. I happened to look down at the dash, and there's this little yellow light on with the gas pump. Mark, You see a gas station anywhere? Hey, Siri, where's the nearest gas station? I started to get a little nervous. Mark did. Mark was more than a little nervous. I'm telling on Mark here. I just simply prayed, Lord, it was our foolishness. I didn't pay attention to this the last town, and we're out here. Lord, help us to get to where we need to go. And so Mark and I are talking about this, and he's getting a little worried. He's thinking he's going to have to get out and push this thing, this little toaster. I don't find the button to pop it down to pop up bread coming out of it. I don't know. We'll be able to eat while we're doing it. But it's Mark, okay, you know, there's two things in life that we're not supposed to worry about. Things we can change or things we cannot change. Things we can change takes perspiration, takes effort. Things we cannot change takes supplication, it takes prayer. I said, Mark, can we change where we are right now? No. Can we change the fact that we don't see a gas station? No. Can we change the fact that we're asking God to help us to get there and going to trust in Him because we can't do it? No, we can't. Then praying is what we're going to do. And so we prayed again. Lord, help us to get to where we're going. You know, there was a battle that we were facing out there. Do we trust God in the battle that we're facing? I am so glad that God answers prayer. I am so glad that God takes care of us even in our foolishness. And when we make mistakes, we got to the next town. We're going through this town. It's just a blink, you missed it. There's trees and there's houses. And it's like, okay, Mark, we're running out of town. Do you see the gas station yet? It says it's supposed to be here. Lord, you said there was something here and we're going to do this, you know. And sure enough, and finally we come up here and Mark says, yep, it's up there between the trees. I see it. We got in there. And I don't know how much that little toaster holds, but we put 14 gallons in it. Esau walking. Lord, hear thee in the day of trouble. Lord, when we face problems, Lord, hear us. Let me pray to you. And where I see, and the first thing when we face battles in life is we need to call on God. Calling on God and praying in God and what we were just talking about. This was not, well, we've run out of gas on the side of the road. Okay, now God, now that we've messed up and we're knee deep in the muck and the mire, would you send somebody? No, Lord, before we get into the ditch and out of gas, Lord, would you help us? In the time of trouble, call on the Lord. That should be our first step. God answers prayer. Aren't you glad of that? Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Boy, didn't he reveal that to us yesterday? Wow! Jeremiah 33:3. Call on him. David, as he's heading into battle, Lord, hear thee. He's not only reminding himself, but those going in the battle with him. Call on him. Lord, hear them. He's going to hear you when you pray. He's going to know what you're dealing with. Doesn't Luke, over in Luke 11:9, doesn't Jesus say, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened. Ask. Lord, we're driving down this road. It's a little two-lane. There's not much of a shoulder over here. Wow, those are some good-looking cows over in that field. They're outstanding in their field. Lord, there's not much out here. Lord, we need your help. I'm asking. Seek. You ever lose your car keys? All the time. You ever lose your cell phone? Car keys, I can walk, take a bus. Cell phone, I got to have that thing, right? When you lose something, you start looking for it. I mean, not just simply, well, yeah, I wonder where it is. Well, I wonder if there's a gas station on the next. No, seek. Hey, Siri. We're going to find anybody here has an iPhone if you turned it off. Hey, Siri. What's around us? Lord, reveal something. We're seeking. Where do we find what we're looking for? Lord, we can't do it. In my foolishness, I've missed. I need your help. Would you open the door to get us where we need to be? And His Word promises. That's what this verse is talking about. That's where David starts this psalm. Is the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble? The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. We didn't have to walk. We didn't have to wait for AAA. I'm not sure where AAA would have come from out there. It might have sent it by Pony Express. I don't know. But He's going to defend us. He's going to guard us, protect us, take care of us, make sure that what we have or what we need is taken care of if we will simply call on Him and ask Him. Secondly, God is our strength in trouble. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Lord, I don't know what this car is going to do or where the needle runs out of gas. I have no idea. Lord, would you just kind of get some angels kind of pushing this thing or, kind of expanding the gas? Send me the help we need to get to where we're going. I know I'm going to have a little fun with this little car. I miss my truck. I know what it does. okay. But when we're facing trouble, I know I'm kind of picking on this car, but we face battles in life. We face trouble in life. We face problems and issues and struggles. Lord, I need your help. I can't do this. I don't know how to get the victory over health issues or over addiction issues or over family struggles or over this. I don't know how to find that in me. Lord, send me your help. Send me the help I need. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. He's the one that is with us whenever we need that help. We're looking at calling on Him, asking Him. Many times we get so busy and so caught up in what we're doing and trying to do it in our strength, we forget to look to the one that's there with us to offer us the help. And it's because when we realize that we can't do it, that we need His help. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul over in 2 Corinthians that talked about the fact that he had had issues. There was a thorn in his flesh, so to speak. And I don't know if that was his eyesight. I don't know if that might have been something else. But it talks about that he had asked several times for this thorn to be healed, to be taken away. God, help me through this. Help me to get over this. And what did God say to him? My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. He goes on to say that it's trusting in Christ's sake. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I realize I can't do it and I'm dependent on Him, that's where my strength comes from. Lord, send me the help out of your sanctuary. Lord, send me the help out of Zion, out of your holy hill, out of your holy mountain. Send me the help that I need because I can't. I could sidetrack here with the health issues that I've been struggling with for now more than a month. I can't do it. God, in my strength, I can't do the work you've called me to do in my strength. Lord, send me your help. While the doctors are trying to figure this out, send me the help I need to do what I need to be doing. Send me that help. Verse 3, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. God is our source. Wasn't it Christ that freely offered Himself as a sacrifice for us? Have I turned to Him? Have I trusted Him? Do I offer myself to Him? Lord, what I'm looking to do is not for my benefit, but Lord, that I may serve You. Remember the offerings. Remember, Lord, recall. Bring not only, I know He doesn't forget, but bring to my remembrance that I've trusted You for these things. And that You are able. Beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Lord, here am I. Lord, as we're heading out, let me minister to Mark as we're heading out. As we're heading out to this pastor and out to this church that we were heading out to go talk with, let me be a ministry and an encouragement to that pastor. Lord, you're my source. And I want to draw your attention, the very last word there of verse number 3 is the word Selah. Many times as we go to read through the book of Psalms, we'll see that word show up. And I love listening to folks, and we'll read that, and they'll just read that like they're reading something in the middle of a sentence. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Selah, grant thee according to thine own heart. Wait a minute. Anybody know what the word Selah means? Pause. Ponder. Think about this. What are we thinking about in this verse? What are we thinking about so far through these first three verses? Lord, you've promised to take care of me. Lord, I'm needing your help. Ponder on that. Lord, you're my strength and my source. When I run into problems, ponder on that. Think about that for a minute. Jesus is my sacrifice that died in my place to offer me eternal life, to offer me, not only as we were talking in Sunday school, that eternal life, but the blessings in this life, the care and the protection, the provision I need in this life. Ponder that when we're facing trouble. Ponder it. Take time to just sit there and go, God, oh, you are so good. And let him work in your life. And what's the attitude that we need as we're pondering the fact that he answers us, that we can call on him, that he's our source, he's our strength? Verse number 4, grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Basically, what David is looking here is, Lord, not my will, but thine. It's basically what he's saying. Often we get so caught up in the battle that we only think about what we're doing and how are we going to get through it, instead of realizing that it's sometimes in those battles is what God uses to get us through things, to draw us closer to him. Lord, not my will, but thine. Forgetting that in the toughest of the battles is usually when we draw the closest to him. Lord, keep me in your will so I won't be in your way. Romans 5, 3 and 4, not only so, but we also glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Oh, what a great lesson from yesterday, isn't that, Mark? The problems we face teach us to trust in him. That patient is not, just kind of sitting back waiting. That patience talks about enduring without grumbling. God, we're going to get through this, whether uphill, downhill, whether we got to walk, whether we got to do this, do that. God, we're going to get through this with your glory, and you're going to give us the strength to get through us. And by the way, in learning how to trust in him, that next part talks about the fact that it brings experience. Yeah, we know now to take a look at my son's gas gauge before we get out of the next town. That's not the experience we're talking about. By experience, I know that God will take care of that if I ask him. By experience, I've learned to trust in him. By experience, I've learned to turn to him for the help I need. Lord, help me to do what you want. Grant thee according to thine heart. God, your way in my life. So the first thing in these verses that we're opening up here, the first thing I see David doing is reminding himself and those with him and us, when we face the problems of this life, when we face battles, when we face uncertainties, call on God. But then secondly, verse 5 starts off to remind us to have a little confidence in God. Well, I can call on Him all I want to, but if I don't have faith in the fact that I think He might be able to do something about it, calling on Him's kind of empty, isn't it? I need to have the confidence to know that He can take care of it. So this starts off with, we will rejoice. This used to work with Linda Allen. I wonder if it still works, if it'll work with Kay. Yeah, all right. Rejoice! Rejoice! Trust God. The verse I just stopped in the middle, it says, rejoice in thy salvation. God, you've already promised me deliverance. You've already promised me to get through everything that we're going to deal with. One way or the other, we're getting through it. I can find joy in it. Almost out of gas. You know what was it? Here's something to think about. Let's just say hypothetically that we'd ended up running out of gas and had to walk. Aren't you glad that it was not August? Or January, either one. Okay? Rejoice. I can put a smile on my face because I know He's going to take care of it. I've got confidence in the one that loves me and died for me and promised to take care of me. But in all these things, but let all that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. That's Psalm 5 verse 11. Uphill, downhill, problem, battle, discouragement, doubt, it doesn't matter. There's joy in the Lord. And there's peace in Him. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, Philippians 4:4. That doesn't say rejoice only when things are going good. Rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we set up our banners. And as I read through that, and I think about, you know, anybody know what a banner is? And I'm reminded, I was not there, contrary to what others might think. I'm not quite that old. But you remember Iwo Jima. As the battle was going on, and the Marines raised the banner on that hill. What was the response to the Marines raising that banner? There was a charge. There was an encouragement. There was the strength we need to persist and keep going. Let us set up our banner in Him. In the name of our God, we will set up our banner. Lord, Your Word says, I'm setting up my banner. I'm going off this. I'm finding the encouragement I need in Your Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. God, Your Word says, I can get through this with You. Set up that banner. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Lord, Your Word says, I'm going to take You at Your Word. I'm going to have confidence that what you said you're going to do and what you're able to do, you can really do. And he does. Amen. Verse number 6 gives us the next piece. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. No so assurance. God, it's not that, well, I hope that we don't run out of gas on this or on this road. But God, I know that, Mark, I'm just having fun with this. You know, you understand. I was right there in the car with you, and I could actually blame it on Mark because he was the one driving through the last little town, and he pulled over, and we switched places to drive again because I'm not supposed to be doing a whole lot of that. And he didn't look at the gas gauge either. I'm just as responsible. But now I know that the Lord takes care of things. That's what that verse says, isn't it? Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. I've got no assurance that what he starts, he'll finish. Amen? For this cause I suffer, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Whatever my problems, whatever my battle in life might be, whether it's health or finances or out on a little country road and running out of gas, whatever the battle might be that we're facing, I know that he is able. A no-so assurance that he's going to take care of it. Either way, it's according to his will, verse number 4. God, your way in this, and whatever you've got planned, we're going to follow. We're going to follow with and step right in line with. You take care of it. We'll do it. And I know you're able to take care of it. I wonder how many times we fall in the battle because we forget the fact of who's on our side. We forget to look to him for our strength. We forget to look to him for the battle. We forget to look to him for our strength to get through. He will hear him from his holy heaven. You know, God's not in some distant place. He's not some unreachable. Well, you know, I'm out in a car driving. I can't. There's no church out here for me to stop by a church to go pray. Aren't you glad that God hears me from when I'm praying in a car? He hears me. And I love the last part of that, that verse number 6. Let me grab this here. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving, catch this, strength of his right hand. God's right hand has got a hold of me to provide me with what I need. Doesn't Jesus say over in John chapter 10, I love there about verse 27, it starts off, it says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And I give unto them eternal life, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We are saved, we are protected, we are provided for in this life by the strong right hand of God. Do we have the confidence we need to get through the battle to lean on his hand? Oh, there you go, leaning on the everlasting arms, amen? Trusting God's hand. Who can separate us? Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Shall problems and discouragement and stress, running out of gas, or whatever you want to put in there, will that separate us? Verse 37, nay, in all of these, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He's our source. That gives us the confidence we need in the battle. So first, call on him. Second, have confidence he can do it. And then count on him. Look here at verse number 7. Some trust in chariots. Some in horses. Now, we don't have a whole lot of chariots running around today. Well, we do. They're now horseless carriages. But if you think about the days of battle, you know, we've only had cars for a little over 100 years, or only about 100 years. Prior to that, the only way to get around was horse and buggy. When the battles would get them, when people would put the battle in array, when they'd line up the battles, the enemy would come out with all the chariots and the horses. And by the way, these weren't just, you know, old, dusty chariots. Getting ready for battle, the soldiers would spend hours shining them up, getting them polished, getting them to look good. Why? Because there's that shiny chariot that's going to make those coming that they're coming against go, oh, I'm not sure we can do that. That's man's strength. That's man's ability. Anybody remember David? By the way, the Psalm of David, 1 Samuel 17. We all know that, David and Goliath. What did David come up on when he came out with where the armies of Israel were? The armies were in array, so the Philistines were all lined up on this hill. The thousands of Philistines, now I don't know this hill, that hill, right or left, which way, but they're lined up on this hill. They've got all the armor, it's all shined up in the sun, reflecting in the sun. There's thousands of Philistines. I don't know if they had chariots or horsemen, but they're a pretty imposing looking force. Israel's lined up over here going, wow, that's a pretty big army. By the way, the Philistines weren't dependent on their horses and chariots. They were dependent on one man, Goliath. With shined up armor. Some depend on chariots and horses. Some depend on the efforts and the strength of men, the strength of the world. I'm going to depend on God. Basically, the rest of that verse. What did David do? Let's go back here to that passage in 1 Samuel. What did David do? I don't care how big the army is, my God's bigger. They're defying the Lord. They're defying the army of God. They're defying the children of Israel. They're coming not against me, but against my God. And when I face problems and battles in this life, I don't care how shined up that armor is. I don't care how shined up those chariots are. I don't care how good the strength of man might look. My God is bigger. And my God is greater. And I will look to Him. I will look to the great physician. I'll look for the great provider, the sustainer of life. Verse number 8 talks about they will fall. They are brought down and are fallen. Anybody been watching the news for like the last year? Okay? I know it's easy to get discouraged in that and just, you know, why am I watching all this garbage? But have you noticed what they were saying a year ago is not what they're saying today? But yet what they're saying today is what they claimed that they were saying a year ago? You're laughing, but it's true. Oh, yeah, yeah, didn't we do this? Or didn't I say this would happen? No, that's not what you said. You want me to go back and hit the play button on the record? They're going to fall. The strength of man is only as dependent as the source of information that they have for that day, and it changes one day to the next. The Word of God doesn't change. They are fallen. I'm going to stand upright. They're heading for destruction. They're heading for discouragement. They're heading for problems. I'm heading for the throne of grace. I'm going to count on God. And when we do that, there's a victory that comes for us. We are risen and stand upright. I can stand firm on the confidence of God and the confidence of His Word, the promises that are never changing in His Word. I can stand firm through whatever battle I might face and get the victory. Verse number 9, oh, I love verse number 9. Look at the way David is ending the psalm. Save. Lord. Lord, you're my source of victory. You're the source of my deliverance, not only through this life, but eternal. David knew where he was heading in eternity. Amen. Let the King hear us when we call. And I believe the King there is not David referring to a human king, but let the King of Kings hear us when we call. And by the way, if the King of Kings hears us when he calls, the King of Kings responds when we call and gives us the victory we need, bringing us the victory not only in this life, temporal, but eternal life. What a beautiful song. Just a simple, short, little 9 verses. But what a reminder in the days that we are in and the battles that we face. That when we face those battles, instead of trusting in chariots and horses, we need to first call on God. And we need to have confidence that what He says He's going to do, He's going to do. And then count on Him to do it. Yeah. Well, God, I'm going to call on You and I know You can do it, but I'm going to... Come on, God. No. God, You're going to do it, and I'm just going to trust You all the way through. And there's victory. In the days that we're in, I can look to my source. I can look to God. I can look at my strength and my refuge. I can look at being protected by His right hand. And I can do that because I know Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior. I've got a relationship with Him. I have learned that I can depend on Him. I have learned that He is faithful to His Word. And He will do what He says He will do. But maybe you're here today and you don't have that relationship. You don't know my Savior. You don't know personally the God of Jacob. The one that has the strength to provide us. You can come to know Him today. You can face what is waiting you out in the world later today, this week, next month, next year, or whatever might be in front of you with the assurance that He will take care of it if you will trust Him today. So here in a minute, we're going to give a good old-fashioned invitation. If that Lord, if the Holy Spirit's talking with you, if He's dealing with you, maybe you've never trusted Him. Maybe you've gotten caught up in the old shiny of the array of the enemy instead of the strength of the Savior. And you just say, Lord, I've got my eyes off of You and on the battle. Lord, help me get my eyes off the battle and back on You. And maybe you just need to get on your face before God. And call on Him. Trust Him. Would you do it? Would you do it today? Don't leave here today with the same burdens, with the same loads, with the same doubts, with the same discouragement. Let God make a change in that today. Let's stand quietly for prayer. If that Holy Spirit's dealing with you, will you come? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for the day. Father, thank You for this reminder and this message out of this beautiful little psalm. Father, thank You for the lessons that You provide us in life. Father, thank You for the strength to get through the battle by leaning and trusting in You and not our strength. God, thank You for providing for us even in our foolishness when we make mistakes. God, thank You for being faithful. Father, be with hearts here in this invitation today. Father, be with hearts that are gathered here today. Father, be with hearts that are watching online. Father, move in our hearts. Encourage us for the battles that we face. In Jesus' name, amen.